So the maimer we're going to learn today was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Vayera, which happened to be Chof Mar Cheshvan. That's the birth date of the Rebbe Rashab. The year was Tavshin Lamed Zayin, 1976. And this maimer was edited by the Rebbe, was prepared and later edited by the Rebbe 10 years later, in 1986. And it opens with the words, V'Hashem Amar Hamachasa Ani Me'Avram. So in the biblical narrative, we have the three malachim, the three angels that come, and they have missions. A malach can only do one thing because a malach is built in a single dimensional fashion. The malach of healing could also do saving, but healing and saving are one and the same. A malach of healing, a malach of saving cannot do destruction. And a malach of messenger malach cannot do anything. He can deliver messages. So now, there's no longer three malachim, there's only two malachim, because the malach who had a message to deliver, delivered his message, and he dissipates. And we have now the malach who healed, who's now the malach who will save, and we have a malach who didn't do anything yet, because his mission is yet to come. And they set out for Sodom. At this point, the Torah interrupts the narrative, and God says, V'Hashem Amar Hamachasa Ani Me'Avram Gemer. God says, will I conceal from Avram what I'm about to do? Avram, hoya yil gay gadol. The mimer continues, quoting the pasuk. Avram is going to be a great nation. Now that's verse 18. And then we go into verse 19. Ki odaitiv, why? Avram is going to be a great nation. Rashi tells us, zecher tzadik levracha. We mention a tzadik, we talk about the virtue of the tzadik, how great the tzadik is. However, ki yodaitiv does not mean because I know him, although the Targum renders it that way. Rashi says yodaitiv means I cherish him. Yediya comes to terminology of love, lashon chiba, because God knows everything. Or does it have to say ki yodaitiv? Is something God does know, something God doesn't know? That makes no sense. But is something God cherishes or not? Ki yodaitiv is I cherish him. So the Torah is telling us that God cherishes Avram, and why does God cherish Avram? The Torah tells us why also. God is as if revealing now a little secret, a moment of divine candor. He's saying, let me tell you why. You listen carefully, everybody. This may be incidental to the narrative, but it is a major statement of importance. Because God is going to tell us why he loves Avram. And if we can know why God loves Avram, maybe we can know how to get the God to love us. Right? He's telling us a secret. This is a moment of, he's dropping his guard, kaviyachol. God says, because Asher Yitzave, because he influences others, okay, we couldn't do that. That Noach is a failure because he influences nobody. But Avram Avinu engages his household, not just his son, but his household. V'shamru derech Hashem. And because they keep the way of Hashem. Laseis tzedakah u'mishpat. To do tzedakah, what the world calls charity, we call righteousness, or mishpat and judgment. So the Rebbe says that the Rebbe Rashabu's birthday is today, and a maimer delivered. Remember, this is 1976. And he's talking here about a maimer that was delivered in 1906, exactly 70 years prior, which is found in the famous Hemshech of Tofrei Shamach Vav, a very long Hemshech of Maimarim that began on Rosh Hashanah of 1905. Harei derech Havaya zeo Torah mitzvahs. The way of Havaya is Torah mitzvahs. V'im kein ma meisif hakosov. Why does the Pasuk add bilaseis tzedakah v'goymer? Which is the idea of mitzvahs. When you say the way of Hashem, it's inclusive of study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs. So why would the Torah have to tell us God loves Avram because v'shamrei derech Hashem la'asei tzedakah u'mishpat? If he's v'shamrei derech Hashem, certainly it includes tzedakah u'mishpat. Certainly it includes mitzvahs. It's self-understood. The derech Hashem is a broad, overarching term which includes the plurality of all Yiddishkeit. All of Yiddishkeit. And the proof is that in Parshas Ekev, Rashi doesn't say anything when he talks about Derech Hashem. He talks about going in my ways. He only speaks about it the second time at the end of Parshas Ekev. And there Rashi says something because the Pasuk starts off that it says, Lasis is called a mitzvah, because you're doing all the mitzvahs. So because it says start doing all the mitzvahs, so the Torah later emphasizes that this Derech Hashem has to mean something other than Yiddishkeit, that it says Mahu Racham, Mafata Racham, God is compassionate, you be compassionate, and so on and so forth. But the point that's being made here is that if the Pasuk would have said nothing other than Asher Yitzaveh, he engages others, Vishamri, Derech Hashem, and he keeps the way of Hashem, that's sufficient. He engages others, and they keep Yiddishkeit. All right, that's great. So now I know Avram keeps Yiddishkeit. Why does God love Avram? Surprise, surprise, because he keeps Yiddishkeit. It's pretty basic. Not so, no surprises here. But why does the Torah have to add these words? Lasis darko mishpat. That's what the Rabbi Shab asks. And he says, in that maimer, he explains that the Derech Havaya is a hamshacha milmaila lamata. The Derech Havaya, the highway of God, means the notion of bringing forth or actualizing divinity from a higher level to a lower level. And tzedakah mishpat is the avodah of milmata lamaila. Derech Havaya is bringing godliness down to this world. Lasei tzedakah mishpat is elevating the world in which we live, where we start from the bottom, moving our way upward. And that's why we have this idea of v'shamri derech havaya, actualization, bringing forth the divinity, lasei tzedakah mishpat, elevate and transform the world. That's how we understand the seeming redundancy. Now, I kind of, in your photocopies, I skipped the next paragraph, next half a paragraph, and I'll tell you why. Because the premise of this maimer is that later on, 2 years later to be exact, the Rebbe Rashab said a maimer that began the same way, on the same date, and he gave a totally different explanation. And the Rebbe's, the segue into the Rebbe's explanation here is, how come the Rebbe Rashab changes gears? How come later on he says that it's the difference of Torah and of mitzvahs? Here he says it's directional, whether it's from a higher place below or from below on high. And later on, he says it's a distinction of Torah and mitzvahs. And the Maimer really comes, the Rebbe's Maimer comes to explain, to reconcile the seeming disparate nature of these two Maimarim. But I don't want to go there. This is like a whole slew of diyukim, of precise analysis of the difference between the two Maimarim. And that will take us the next 15 minutes, which I don't want to spend on that, because we only have a very limited amount of time. So I want to go straight into the beer, and that's why I think in the photocopies I went straight now to Ois Beis. Now, Ois Beis, and the point will be this. The point is that Rebbe will give us a deeper understanding of this concept, and once you have a deeper understanding of the concept, the Maimarim become reconciled almost by themselves. I mean, nothing happens by itself, but relatively speaking, the Maimarim all of a sudden, once you have this new understanding, things kind of fall into place. So we don't have time today to highlight the distinction and show you how the Maimarim actually work in tandem, but I think what we will have time to do is at least the beer, the Rebbe's explanation of this whole idea of the Shomer Derech Hashem and Lasis Tzedako Mishpat, the difference in the way of Hashem and doing Tzedako Mishpat, and I think we'll all be enriched by it. So let's move forward now into Ois Beis. The Yuvan calls it, all this will be understood al pi ha-mevur, based on what the Rebbe Rashab explains in another Maimer, and this Maimer is found in Tof Reish Ayin Ches, in 1917. We're in the throes of World War I, the Communist Revolution, the world is turning upside down, everything's on fire, and the Rebbe Rashab is teaching Chassidus. So this Maimer in 1917, based on V'shamri Derech Havaya, which is part of the cadence of these psukim, the Maimri doesn't start V'Hashem Amar HaMachasa, but V'shamri Derech Havaya. And this is lifted from a long explanation which is found in the Biuri HaZoyar of the Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, based on the Pasuk Yesharim Darchei Hashem. And the Pasuk Yesharim Darchei Hashem is found at the end of the book of Hosea. It's the final prophecy of Hosea. Hosea, really, the final, end of second to the last verse. And there's also, Obechama Mekemis, there's also in the Biur Hazer of the Tzemach Tzedek's a very similar explanation. And this is the gist of the explanation. The Inyan Derech Lamaila, what does a highway mean when we talk about heaven? Highways in heaven, what does that mean? There's no space in heaven. We're talking about the spiritual reality. We're not talking about geography. We're not talking about space. We're not talking about distance. So if none of these things exist, how would you have the metaphor of a highway? What would be the point? Ways to get where?
To wherever.
You don't have to get anywhere. In heaven, there is no space. There is no distinction between one space or the other. So if you don't have to get anywhere, what do you need a highway for? How would the metaphor work in heaven? The Inyan Derech L'mayla, that the concept of a way, a highway, of a path upon which to travel in a heavenly sense, Hu Bedugmas Derech Kipshuta, is much like a material highway, much like a literal highway, in a Gashmiistic sense, in a material sense. What does a highway do? What do railways do? What does a bridge do? But it doesn't just get you from one place. It connects places. Places which you couldn't get. One couldn't get from one to the other. It was a remote location. You can't get there. Now somebody built a highway. Now you can get there. It takes away its isolation, its remoteness. Now it's just a question of time. This, of course, is before aviation. Aviation doesn't require highways yet. So when you don't require highways, they have agreements of who goes in which ways, nobody crashes and nobody hurts each other. But the idea, you don't have to travel on the highway, you don't like go off the road. But generally speaking, if you have to get somewhere, you need a pathway to get there. Otherwise you can't get there. You have to maybe on foot. It's a very long and arduous journey. To be able to travel somewhere, you need a highway. So we have this idea, shomemutza, it's an intermediary, shemechabesh neimikoymes. That two places which were otherwise separate and apart, a location which is remote, they may be as remote from one another as possible. For example, what we call the King's Highway, which we still use that terminology in Canada, which goes from the capital city, the place where the king lives, the seat of government. L'chol merchevei ha-medina. Now it goes throughout the entire country. Sha'al yodei, it is through this highway, magiyim l'chol ha-yoros ha-gdeles. The highway reaches all the large cities. U'mimenu mistafim oidrachim. Then there is these little tributaries, smaller roadways, or pathways, nesiveis, sha'al yodei m'chevei l'agiyel ha-yoros ha-gdeles. You reach the small shtetlach. But the important thing is to connect all the major urban cities. All the urban centers have to be connected. If a government expects in today's day and age to be able to govern, then all cities have to be interconnected. And only because there's transportation and because it's available to go from one place to the next. So there's a seat of government, but the seat of government, in whatever city it is able to reach out throughout the entirety of the nation. So for example, in Canada, there's a big highway that goes coast to coast. It's called the 401. No? Trans-Canada Highway? Is 401 not Trans-Canada Highway?
No, part of it isn't.
Sure it is. No, in Ontario it is.
401 just goes from Toronto, from Windsor to Montreal, that's it. Trans-Canada goes from...
No, but the 401, so the 401 feeds into the Trans-Canada Highway. I think the segment...
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah? I think yes.
It's Aurelia.
It's Aurelia?
It's the Trans-Canada to Montreal, but then it goes to Ottawa. Why best is the 401?
Uh-huh. Okay. I stand corrected. At any rate, I was under the impression that the 401 is a portion of the Trans-Canada Highway. But the point is this. The point is, Ottawa is the capital city. And initially, Canada was not sea to sea. And initially, the 401 did actually go Trans-Canada. Just like Washington used to be the center of the 13 colonies. Right? And you needed a highway to connect the capital city to all the other cities. That's the nature of things. The roadway enables connectivity between otherwise disparate locations. The railways, when the railways came into being, the railways became the nexus. That's what was connected everywhere. All of a sudden, the world got much smaller with the arrival of the train. Now, obviously, the train couldn't go everywhere. Couldn't have tracks going up to everybody's door. So you have a train station. Every large city has a train station. And smaller towns had to use other methods of transportation on other tributaries or other roads to be able to get to the main highway or to the train station. But the point is now it became possible to go from one place to the next. So what does a derech do? The derech serves to connect. It connects remote locations. The straightest highway in the world is the Siberian Railways. Straightest railway. Do you know why? Because the Tsar flew into a rage after various attempts at creating this highway to Siberia, The Tsar has created the whole Siberia. There is this remote location where there's very, very few people living, an enormous amount of snow and wildlife. And they said, we have all this land, we got to develop it. So everybody who committed some kind of crime, they sent them off to Siberia. It was like England's Australia. They just sent them off. And what happened? People had no choice. They had to figure out how to live. Survival. And they started to build cities. And they started to build urban centers. He's right, huh? All right, let's not get stuck on the mushel, okay? You won't even forget the mushel now. So what, at some point, the Tsar flew into a rage, and he put up, because they couldn't, you know, it's like the topography is not simple. And there's mountains, and there's rivers, and there's valleys. And you have to build bridges and dynamite mountains, and it's very hard. They were, you know, the engineers trying to figure out how to go around certain things, and there was no progress. And the Tsar flew into a rage, put a ruler on a map, and he drew a line from St. Petersburg to Siberia. And he says, that's the highway. That's the way it's going to be. That's the railways. And that became the railways. How many people died doing this? I don't know. But the Tsar didn't care. He decided that it was going this way from here to here. And all of a sudden, it wasn't so remote anymore. It was very easy for people, for the Bolsheviks to send people off to Siberia. Why? Because the Tsar built up a highway already. The roadway was there. The railways were there. Just threw them on the train, on a cattle car. That's it. Off they went. The point then is that the railways connect different locations. Now, the Rebbe says that this goes ad lapina hachin nidachas, even to the remotest of locations. The harichuk shebein ayores saktanes, the distance between small little settlements, little cities, or towns. And even more so, a remote location, a royal remote town, le'ir habira, to the capital city, to mekoy moishav hamelech, to the seat of royalty and government, huneisif al harichuk b'mokayim. Besides that, they're physically far away from each other. You talk about the country where the Rebbe Rashab is delivering this mimer, Russia, an enormous country of landmass, but there's also richuk b'mayla. It's like you can't compare the living in one place and living in the other place. This is high society. This is the poshest, the most beautiful kind of society. And this is like the remotest, most royal, most rustic, most elementary and basic. It's almost like a different civilization. It's like a different species. The people live in these places. So they're far from one another, not only physically, they're remote in many other ways too. That there's a almost an unbridgeable gap. But an interesting thing happens. Once you put a road in place, once you put possibility for transportation, so then that remote location suddenly isn't so remote anymore. And now it's accessible. And now it becomes connected in Mekayim Meshav HaMelech with the royal palace, with the seat of government. They're not so far anymore. So it made the world a smaller place. It connected places which otherwise would have no link to one another. V'zehu, and this is the meaning on mystical levels, Masha Hakav Nimshach Meirin Seif Nikra B'Shem Derech. So we have this idea that in order for God to create the world, he has to create a hollow space, an empty space, which is not literal, of course, but a space in which we don't sense the presence of God. Because if we sense the presence of God, we wouldn't have freedom of choice. There wouldn't be anybody doing Avodas Hashem. Everything would simply be God, or an extension of divinity. So God creates this empty space, and then as the Sefer HaBoyer begins in its first entry, then God took a line of light and drew a line of light into the Mokim Chol Lopanei. This is Kabbalah 101, the most basic Kabbalah in the creation of the world, that God creates this empty space, and he brings forth a line of light, a Kav of Ur. So the Rebbe says here that Kav, the Mekubalim called that Kav, one of the names for the Kav, for the line, is Derech. That's a name for the line. The line is derech. Ki ha-kav hu ha-memutza, because the kav is the connection. Shal yod nimshach me'erein seif le'elumis. There is the infinitude, infinite reality of divinity. And then there's the worlds. And world means limitation. And world means that it doesn't sense the presence of God. So what's the connection? What links heaven and earth, if you will? And the answer is the kav. That's the highway. The ne'isif al-zeh she'es havas le'elumis. Besides the fact that they're bringing into existence of worlds. Besides the fact that the kav represents a little bit of light, and light is a metaphor for divine energy, and divine energy is what animates and activates and brings everything into existence. So besides the fact that the kav is required for creation itself, that it comes through the concept of kav, and the Rebbe says in the brackets that this idea of creation is called chitzonius hakav. That's the superficial level of kav, that the shodesh is from malchus of Ein Sof. That's the lowest level of infinitude called malchus. That's where the kav comes from. In other words, that's how the existence can be engendered. That's how independence from God can be created. But the kav, which usually is thought of as the way of light entering our life, the Rebbe says is not only the way light enters our life or heaven and earth kiss, but the kav is also nasa hamshachas hagiluyim. That's how divinity enters our world. That's the highway that connects us. Of Eden Seif Be'elimus, of the infinite light and the world. So the concept of a highway now, spirituality, means the ability for us to connect to that which is beyond us. There's where we are in the frame of existence that we exist, and we don't sense the presence of God. And then there's the reality of divinity, where nothing else is sensed other than God. Like when the lights are on, the picture is not seen on the screen. And then when the lights go off, suddenly the picture appears. So when God removes his light, that's when we all of a sudden are. And that's when a world exists. And the more you go, the darker it gets, the sharper the picture gets, or the more independent we feel, to the point we say, we don't see a creator. We don't notice. There is nothing. We are our own masters. The world is an accident that evolved by itself. So the kav is not only what allows for the reality to exist, but the kav is how there's this continued connection between our existence and our reality and the true reality of divinity. In other words, it's the railways. It's the highway. It's the derech. That's how you have a concept of derech in a spiritual sense. Based on this, the Rebbe says, the Rebbe Rashab explains in a different maimer. That's why we have this pasuk with regard to Avram, and we have Psukim in Parshas Ekev, and we have the Navi Hosea, and other places where we talk about Yiddishkeit being a derech, a way, a highway. Why use that metaphor? Why use a road? And the answer is, Ke'inin ha-teira mitzvahs hu la'atkona roza d'shmaya. Which means it's in order to fix, so to speak, to perfect the secret of heaven, which means hamshachas bechinas shmoy hagodol, actualizing, drawing forth the presence of God's infinite great name. That's called Shem Havaya. So derech Havaya, the way of Havaya, means the way that Havaya can be brought into our existence, which is, in other words, the giloy of Atzmo Seir and Seif. This is how the essence of divinity becomes revealed in our world. Now skip the brackets, because that's just Kabbalistic jargon and terminology. That's why it's called the way of Havaya. The way of Havaya, the highway of Havaya, means Hadrochim Shal Yodom Nimshach Be'elo Magilu D'Shem Havaya. This is the way that Havaya, that miraculous energy, that transcended divine energy, becomes recognized or appreciated or known of in this world. It happens through Torah and mitzvahs. In other words, if you want to know God, if you want to bring God into your life, if you want to have a sense of revelation, if you want to see past the obfuscation and the smokescreen and the darkness of Olam Haza, of reality, you need to study Torah and you need to perform mitzvahs. And in doing so, you'll bring Havaya into your life. You'll bring godliness down the railway. This is the railway. This is the road. It's the road to fulfillment, if you will. But it's on this road that the revelation will travel. And that enables the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is not that God created this gigantic lunar park, as they call it in Hebrew, or this big obstacle course in which we have to jump and we have to roll and we have to crawl and we have to climb. And you have to you fall over this and you fall over that. And then when you finish the obstacle course, then you get a big heavenly piece of chocolate cake and you go to paradise for eternity because you made it to the obstacle course known as life. Right? Wrong. That is not why God created the world. God did not create the world to make us go to heaven so you can go to paradise. It's not Jewish. Why did God create the world? So that this world, which seems like a dark and godless place, should become a lit up godly place. And that's called Dira B'tachtonim, when God will dwell in this world. In other words, Hagilui, the Atzmus Ein Seif, the revelation of the infinitude of godliness, which is higher than what we call Seiviv U'memala, and I can't really explain that right now. It's higher than the notion of divinity that we relate to or addresses us in a personal or in a plural or overarching fashion. But the point is, the essence of divinity should be lamata betachtoinim, in the lowest reality. In a tachtoin, in a reality that is so low that it feels that it's totally independent of God, it is the only place where you can have atheism being fostered and nurtured. Only this world allows for it. That makes it the lowest place. The place where God's presence is totally concealed. It can't be lower than that. Ein tachtoin lamata menu. The Rebbe Rashab explains there that Dira B'tachtonim is kemoshel, it's the metaphor of Adam Hador B'beis Chaveri, like a person who's a guest in somebody's house but makes himself at home there. It's about making yourself at home in somebody else's house. Shakolat Smusei Kemesh Hudor B'beisei, you're living like you live at home. You drop all inhibitions. You're just yourself. You're yourself. At home, you're yourself. Who really knows you? People live in your house with you. That's when you're yourself. Otherwise, you're role-playing. Otherwise, you assume a certain persona. That's why sometimes people don't like to be guests, because they can't be at home. They're not at home. They're a guest. They just want to be home again. They want to be themselves. They don't want to put on a show. They don't want to make a presentation. They don't want to, so to speak, let their hair hang down. They just want to be. Just want to be. That means to be at home. That's the thing that happens at home. And when you're at home, when you're dar bebeisai, so the metaphor is to be dar bebeis chaveri, to have that experience in somebody else's house. Why is that the metaphor? Why can't you just say living in his own home? Why can't God make this his home? So the Rebbe explains this. The Ashleimer, the Rebbe said, we could say shakavana b'hamoshel the adam hador b'beis chaveri, that the intention here, in the metaphor of a person living in somebody else's house, will levire it to explain the inyan dira b'tachtonim, that the concept of dwelling in this world, it does not mean that when God's presence arrives in this world becomes so rarefied, this world becomes so crystallized, this world becomes so cleansed of its dross, and all of a sudden it becomes totally transparent, it becomes a glass world, a world in which the truth can be seen entirely. So then it's not this world anymore. If heaven comes to this world, then it's just heaven. So this world isn't. The lights went on. The picture is gone. But what was the point? It was never a dira b'tachtonim. In order for it to be a dira b'tachtonim, what did I require? I require that we should still feel a sense of independence. Kiyim, so therefore, shegam la'achre agilu nisha tachton. God's presence will be in this world, and this world will still be a lowly place, and yet, despite the fact this world will still be a lowly place, will still be a place where that we feel independent of God, and yet godliness will resonate and reveal itself in the fullest sense. Like somebody who makes himself at home in somebody else's house. So we'll still feel like an other. And yet, despite the fact that I feel like an other, God will be at home here. Va'afal pikein, and nonetheless, nimshur b'gili, that's masin esev baruch. And this is the teichah, this is the content of the mashal of Adam Adar Beis Chaveri, that a person who lives in his friend's house, in somebody else's house, that even after you live there, you're living there, doesn't mean you took over the house. I didn't take your house over, I didn't take your house away. It's still your house, but I'm still at home. So the world will still be independent of God, and yet godliness will be fully revealed. And this now, my friends, is the point. So the Rebbe now says, how does this happen? And it happens through the study of Torah, and it happens through the performance of mitzvahs. So the study of Torah is hamshacha milmaila lamata. It's drawing something from a higher place low. It's making us understand godly ideas. There's lofty concepts which are beyond our fathomability. And when they're brought into our realm, now we're understanding these things. So once we understand these things, we get to know God. When you learn Torah, want to know God? Learn Torah, you'll know God. But learning Torah and knowing God still doesn't complete the relationship. If people date and they get to know each other really well and they spend a lot of time together and they know each other, but they don't do anything for each other, do they have a relationship? You could be a psychologist and you have this guy who sits on your couch. Every single week he comes and drops you $250 and you're happy, you're making money, and you talk to this guy and he talks and talks and talks and you know everything about him. In fact, you could predict his next move. He doesn't even have freedom of choice from your perspective anymore. Everything to use, but you know this guy so well, you got files and files on him, you know how he reacts just about every situation, everything is predictable. So this person, who you know really well, how close are you with that person? I don't have to be close at all. I just know them. I know them. I know all about them. So how would you develop a relationship? A relationship is when they start to do things for each other. So when people, when young couple goes out and starts dating, so they're dating, and they're dating, and they're dating, and they're getting to know each other. And then they don't really know each other, and then they get married, and then they get to know each other even better. You spend the rest of your life knowing each other. Sometimes you have to know yourself. You don't even know yourself. But how does the relationship get fostered? What nurtures the relationship when one does something for the other? And this is the concept of Torah, and that's the concept of mitzvahs. There's a derech havaya. There's a way for us to connect. Mm-hmm. What's the superhighway? The road to fulfillment, the spiritual fulfillment, is to travel the highway that goes two directions. It's a two-directional highway. It goes from on high below, which is a concept of learning Torah, understanding godliness. It goes from below with the direction of on high and elevating the world and performing mitzvahs. And this two-way highway, this two-way railways, this two-way connection is why Hashem loves Avram. He loves Avram because Avram knows him. Avram studies Torah. He loves Avram because Avram performs mitzvahs, because Avram is doing things for God. And that's not only the way our relationship with God works. In fact, that's the way all relationships work. It's based on knowing, based on willingness to listen, willingness to learn more about the other person, to understand the other person, to develop an empathy, to develop a sense of appreciation, to cherish somebody else. But at the same time, besides all that knowledge, there has to be this idea that we're actually doing something for somebody else. And the more you do things for somebody else, the more that relationship becomes fostered, nurtured, and developed. And that's why God loved Abraham. That's how God can love us. And that's how we can all experience true spiritual fulfillment. In other words, this is the road to spiritual fulfillment, the two-way highway of learning Torah, of doing mitzvahs, of actualizing from on high below, and lifting and transforming the world from below with a direction on high. And the Eibishter should help us, that we've been traveling this road for a very long time, and we should finally get to the destination, which is Ador Beveis Chavere, that God should finally move in and make himself at home. And this, of course, will be with the coming of Mashiach, B'mheiro, B'meinu, Amen. Thank you all for joining and listening and watching all week. Good Shabbos.